The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Reads to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is Riverside Ramblers, A Journey Downstream. And this is written by Lizzie Walkley. One morning, Frog woke and noticed the breeze. It felt a bit crisper, and he noticed the bees. They buzzed more softly as flowers turned to seeds, and Swan's nest was now empty over there in the reeds. "It's time," Frog declared, "to make headway downstream to the pool where I burrow deep down to dream of the summer that's past and the spring when I'll wake. There's no time to waste. There's a boat I must make." Sticks tied together, some longer, some shorter, just the right size to steer through the water. He added a rudder and a big white sail that would carry him swiftly if the wind blew a gale. Frog set off on his journey that very same morning. But just round the bend there came, without warning, blocking the stream, a fallen old log. "I can't get past. Oh, bother," moaned Frog. "Do not worry," a voice came from the bank. "You push from there and I'll give it a yank." "Oh, Badger," beamed Frog, "you just saved the day. Would you like to join me as I travel this way?" The two friends in the boat looked up at the sky while the swifts and the swallows flying south waved goodbye. And swifts were a kind of bird, and also swallows are also a kind of bird. Then Frog heard splashing, followed by a small yelp. He saw Mole up ahead in need of some help. "I was reaching for blackberries hanging over the river, but I slipped and fell in," said Mole with a shiver. Badger then fished him out of the brook with the help of Frog's oar, which he used as a hook. There he's getting Frog at the back of his overalls by sticking the oar in and lifting little old Badger right up out of the water. Now, of course, Badger lost all the blackberries he had been collecting. They warmed up Mole on the ramshackle boat. The wind was quite chilly, but it did keep them afloat. As the white sail billowed, they picked up speed, soaring past squirrels gathering nuts and seeds. There are the squirrels on the bank gathering acorns for the winter. "May we join you?" called out Rabbit and Rat from an almost submerged boat where they sat. "We watched you sail the rapids ahead, but our boat got a hole, and it's sinking instead." "Do join us," said Frog, "but do it with haste, as our boat is quickly picking up pace. Now hold on tightly and watch as I steer carefully around these rocks right here." Lots of rocks in the stream in this picture. The full little boat whizzed and flew, bumping and turning with its animal crew, shrieking with glee and wet from the spray on a beautifully vibrant October day. The sky glowed pink. The sun turned to gold. The friends barely noticed the whisper of cold. They glided into the quiet, clear pond amid the amber patchwork of the forest beyond. All the trees are turning color in the autumn here. The boat was tied up to a big root to moor. Then the animals clambered onto the shore. As the first leaf swirled down from the sky, Frog said to his friends with a gleam in his eye, "I bid you farewell till the warmth of the spring beckons me forth with adventures it will bring." With a captain's salute, he dived down deep and burrowed in snug for a dream-filled sleep. Now, I don't know if you know the word hibernate, or hibernation, and it's what animals like frogs and worms and snakes and bears, many other animals hibernate in the winter. They find a quiet place. A bear always finds a cave. Mr. Frog was looking for a nice quiet pool to dig down in the deep mud to dream and dream, fall asleep until spring. And that's what that was doing. With the help of his friends, he got his boat where it needed to be. This story is called Buford Bear and the Bad News Blues, and it's from a book called Fears, Doubts, Blues, and Pouts by H. Norman Wright and Gary J. Oliver. And this one is about Buford Bear and a feeling sad, really sad, that's what blues are, and his how his friends helped him. A big wet ball of water fell through the air. It landed in Buford Bear's bowler hat, along with the other tears which had dripped from his sad eyes. Buford sat outside his den and sighed. Oh me, oh my, I'm so sad. I wish I felt glad instead of so bad. And another tear fell with a splish and a splash. Suddenly there was a bigger splash, and Buford was surprised to find a nut floating in his bowler. He looked up into the trees, just in time to see Cheryl Squirrel bouncing from limb to limb. "Sorry about that," said Cheryl. "Am I bothering you?" She bounded down from one branch to the next, and then jumped the last 3 feet to the ground. "What's wrong, Buford Bear?" Grass behind Buford rustled, and a pair of pink ears belonging to Hip Hop Bunny were soon followed by the rabbit's worried face. "Yeah, I heard you sniffling and snuffling. Why the tears, big buddy?" With a sniffle and a snuffle and two more tears for good measure, Buford moaned. "Oh, woe is me, I'm just so sad. I wish I felt glad, but I feel so bad." Cheryl and Hip Hop looked at each other with surprise, and they turned to his friend. "What's there to be sad about?" Cheryl asked. "It's a pretty day. Look at all the grass, and the flowers to eat, and the butterflies to chase, and the hollow logs to crawl through." "I don't care about those things," said Buford, with more sniffles than ever. "Anyway, the last time I tried to crawl through a hollow log, I got stuck." Before Hip Hop could laugh at the idea of Buford stuck in a log, Buford shot him a mournful look. "And it's not funny, Bunny. Nothing's funny anymore." "Buford," Cheryl the Squirrel said, "let us help you. You've got a bad case of the blues, and you need to talk to your friends. What's your problem exactly?" Buford said sadly, "Everything's gone wrong lately, and today doesn't even look any brighter. No one understands. Maybe I'll feel this way forever and ever." And Buford dumped out the tears from his soggy hat and plopped it back on his head. "And don't even try to cheer me up," he added. "It won't help." "Don't you want to talk?" asked Hip Hop. "I've been talking to someone, everybody, about my trouble," said Big Bear. "Who?" asked Cheryl. "Me, that's who," Buford replied. "That's just the problem," said Hip Hop. "It's like one sad person talking to another sad person. It just makes you feel worse, doesn't it? Now try to talk to us right now, okay?" "Okay," said Buford with a very deep sigh. "It all started a few days ago when I was on my way to the pond. I passed Elwood Elk and Bruce Moose along the path, but they just ignored me, and Oscar and Oliver Otter just ran the other way when they saw me coming. I tried to be friendly, but I think the other animals must not like me very much. Anyways, after that, I decided to go on home to my den." "Buford, we're your friends," said Cheryl. "We think you're great, and the other woodland animals do too. They probably just didn't see you." "Well, it doesn't feel that way to me right now." "So what did you do next?" asked Hip Hop. Buford sighed, remembering. "The next day it rained and rained, so I stayed inside my den all day long." "Did you tell anyone else you were sad? Did you ask anyone to come over for a visit?" asked Cheryl. "No," said Buford. "You mean you just moped around your dark, crowded, smelly den?" "Well, maybe it's not the most cheerful place in the forest, but it is my home," said Buford, with only a little hurt pride. "No, I didn't tell anyone my troubles. And then I started feeling sadder and sadder to think that I was all alone. And then the really bad thing happened. "What was that?" Hip Hop asked in concern. Tears started to overflow from Buford's eyes again as he remembered. "The next day, I felt a little better, so I decided to go across the woods to see my very best bear friend, Beulah Bear. When I got to her den, an old owl told me she had moved away to the other side of the mountain, and I don't think I'll ever see her again." Hip Hop's face fell. "You know, my very best bunny friend, Rad Rabbit, moved away last summer. I walked around with a sad face for the longest time. I didn't feel like doing much either." "You mean it's normal to feel sad when you lose a friend?" asked Buford. "Sure it's normal," said Hip Hop, giving the bear a pat on his big brown paw. "Oh, my Buford Bear," said Cheryl, wringing out her tail, which was now wet with the bear's big tears. "You do have a bad case of the blues. No wonder." "Just wait," said Buford. "It gets worse." After I found out about Beulah, I felt so low, I decided to visit my favorite berry patch. Nothing cheers me up like a good mouthful of wild blueberries. So I hiked back across the woods to my secret spot. And it was gone. I guess the lightning from the storm a few days ago hit a nearby tree. The fire from the tree also burned up my blueberries. Buford sighed a deep sigh and rested his head in his hands. "This hasn't been my week," he said. "When I think about those lost berries, I get even sadder than before." "Everyone is sad when they lose something that is important to them," said Cheryl gently. "I lost my nest and half a tree full of nuts when the lightning hit my last home. Sure, I was glad to get out safely, but I cried and cried about all my nice things and hard work, all gone up in smoke. Losing things can be very hard, but it did get better in time." "So time can help? Well, that's good to know," said Buford. "And talking to you has made me feel better. Now what else can I do?" "I know," said Cheryl. "Let's think about what we can do to help you get rid of Buford's blues. You too, Bear, now that you've stopped crying, you can help us make a plan." The animals decided to think about their ideas in private. Cheryl whisked to the top of the tallest tree round and munched on a pine cone while she thought. "I've got it," she said finally. Hip Hop burrowed into the grass, nibbling on some sweet clover nearby. "That's it," he shouted after a while. Buford stretched out in the warm sun, chewing on the honeycomb he'd saved for a special day. As he relaxed, he felt some of his sadness drain away. Suddenly, he sat up straight. "Yes, yes, yes, just the thing for my bad news blues. At the same time, the three animals met together by Buford's den. "Listen to this," said Buford with excitement. "Why don't you two come hunting with me? Together we'll find a new berry patch and share what we have with everybody. It will be a party." "A very berry blueberry party," said Cheryl, her tail twitching at the thought. "That's just what I was thinking of." "Hey, you guys," said Hip Hop, "you stole my idea. It is a good one, though, isn't it? Blueberries to beat the blues." "Say, why don't you ride up here with me?" invited Buford. So the three friends set off together. And there's the Shirley the squirrel sitting on his head. And there's the rabbit, Hip Hop, holding on to his shoulders from behind. And they're all going together to find a new blueberry patch. Just then a butterfly landed itself squarely on Buford's nose. His friends laughed out loud at the sight. And Buford suddenly found himself doing something he hadn't done in days. He smiled. And that's the end of that story. And in that story, friends really helped each other, didn't they? Our next story is Peppa Pig Plays Soccer. And it's from a larger book called 5-Minute Peppa Stories. It was a sunny day. Peppa and Susie Sheep are playing tennis while George watches. To you, Susie, cheers Peppa, hitting the ball. Now it's Susie's turn. To you, Peppa, she shouts, hitting the ball straight over Peppa's head. Oh, dear. Wah, little George feels left out. Sorry, George, says Peppa. You can't play tennis, and we only have two rackets. George can be the ball boy, cheers Susie. Being a ball boy is a very important job, says Peppa. Peppa and Susie are having lots of fun, but they keep missing the ball. Ball boy, they shout. Huff, puff. George is not having fun. He's running out of air. He keeps running to get the ball, and he is so tired. Then more of Peppa's friends arrive. Hello, everyone, said Peppa. We're playing tennis. Can we play too? Asked Danny Dog. There aren't enough rackets for everyone, replies Susie Sheep. Let's play soccer then, says Danny Dog. Soccer! Hooray! Everyone cheers. We can play girls against boys, says Peppa. Now each team needs a goalkeeper, says Danny Dog. Me, me! Shouts Pedro Pony. Me, me! Yells Rebecca Rabbit. Pedro Pony and Rebecca Rabbit decide to be the goalkeepers. The boys' team will start, says Danny. Richard Rabbit gets the ball and runs very fast, right by Peppa Pig, Susie Sheep, and Candy Cat, and straight up to the goal, shouts Danny and Pedro together, as Richard Rabbit kicks the ball straight past Rebecca Rabbit and into the net. The boy's a winner, cheers Danny Dog. That's not fair. We weren't ready, moans Peppa. Rebecca Rabbit picks up the ball and runs. Hey, shouts Danny Dog, that's cheating. You can't hold the ball. Oh, yes, I can, says Rebecca. I'm the goalkeeper. Rebecca throws the ball into the goal, straight past Pedro Pony. Goal, she cheers. That goal is not allowed, says Pedro. Yes, it is, says Peppa. No, it isn't, barks Danny. Daddy Pig comes outside to see what all the fuss is about. What a lot of noise, he snorts. I'll be the referee. The next team to get a goal wins. Richard Rabbit and George run off with the soccer ball while everyone is still talking. Where's the ball? Asks Peppa, looking around. But it's too late. Richard Rabbit kicks the ball straight into the goal, past Pedro Pony. Hooray! The boys win, cries Danny. Soccer is a silly game, says Peppa, disappointed. Just a minute, said Daddy Pig. The boys scored in their own goal. That means the girls win. Really? The girls gasp. Hooray! Soccer is a great game, cheers Peppa. The girls all agree. And that's the end. Now that's a story about friends playing together, and sometimes some of them aren't fair in what they're doing in the game, and sometimes they are. So, anyways, you need to think about that when you play with your friends. Is everyone being fair to the other people in the game? Then our next story is called Brick by Brick by Heidi Woodward Sheffield. And this book is interesting because everything is in Spanish as well as English. But I'm just going to read you the English version today because I don't really know Spanish very well at all. My puppy is strong. He's a bricklayer, and his arms are like stone. When Poppy builds, he spreads the mortar thick, tap-taps the brick in place, scrapes the drips, and starts over again. He helps build the city, brick by brick. Poppy's work is brick by brick. Mine is book by book. So, this little guy likes to read, and his dad is a bricklayer, it's called. At lunch, Poppy whistles and eats mama's special empanada and drinks cinnamon horchata. And I do, too. And in case you don't know, an empanada is a little meat pie that has meat and vegetables or cheese or something like that in it. And cinnamon horchata is a type of drink made from milk and rice and has flavoring. So, and there's the little guy here sharing with his friends at lunchtime. giving them tastes of his lunch. Then it's back to work again. Poppy makes the mortar that holds the bricks together. He turns on the mixer, pours in the water, whoosh! He levels sand and adds cement. I roll my clay, slap and pat, and here's the young one playing at school. He's playing with Play-Doh. I roll my clay, slap and pat. I pinch and smooth it and mold it. I make a tiny dog and tiny bricks for a tiny brick house. Saturday is our special day. Poppy cooks me a big, yummy breakfast. He lets me try his work hat on. Close your eyes, said Poppy. A surprise! After a while, we stop. Surprise! Yells Poppy. And guess where they are? It's a new house made of Poppy's bricks. And there is his mother moving into the new house. Tonight I dream in my house, our always house. We won't have to move anymore. Our always house, always forever. And when spring comes, I help Mama plant our flowers. And there they are, fixing the garden in their new house. The mom, the dad, and the little boy. And they're all very happy in their new house, their forever house. This book is called The Rabbit Listened, and it's by Corey Deerfield. One day, Taylor decided to build something. Something new. Something special. Something amazing. And Taylor was so proud. He built a beautiful tower out of all sorts of blocks. And it's looking great. But then, out of nowhere, the birds. The birds came, flying. He must have been building with his blocks outside, on the driveway or the sidewalk. The birds came and knocked his gorgeous building down into pieces again. He was so upset. Things came crashing down all around him, hundreds of little blocks that he had worked so hard to play with, to build with. The chicken was the first to notice. Cluck, cluck, what a shame. I'm so sorry, sorry, sorry this happened, said the chicken. Let's talk about it, talk about it, cluck, cluck. But Taylor did not feel like talking. But the chicken left. Next came the bear. Taylor wasn't so sure what this bear was going to do to him. Grr, rawr, how horrible. I bet you feel so angry. Let's shout about it. Grr, rawr, growl. But Taylor did not feel like shouting. So the bear, sort of mad, left. The elephant knew just what to do. Trump, da, I can fix this. We need to remember exactly the way things were. But Taylor did not feel like remembering how the blocks were. So the elephant also left, feeling a little bit put out. But so one by one they came, the hyena, hee, 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 let's laugh about it. The ostrich, gulp, let's hide our head and pretend nothing happened. And there the ostrich digs his head under a pile of blocks, and he's hiding his head. The kangaroo said, tisk, tisk, what a mess, let's throw it all away. And the snake said, shh, let's go knock down someone else's. What a mean snake. But Taylor didn't feel like doing anything with anybody. So eventually they all left, until Taylor was all alone. In the quiet, Taylor did not even notice Rabbit, but it moved closer and closer, until Taylor could feel its warm body pressed up against its back. Together they sat in silence until Taylor said, please stay with me. The rabbit listened. The rabbit listened as Taylor talked. The rabbit listened as Taylor shouted. The rabbit wasn't saying anything, was he? He just listened. The rabbit listened as Taylor remembered and laughed. The rabbit listened to Taylor's plans to hide, to throw everything away, to ruin things for someone else. Through it all, the rabbit never left, just rubbed against his back. And when the time was right, the rabbit listened to Taylor's plan to build again. "I can't wait," Taylor said. "It's going to be amazing." And there we see Taylor, with the rabbit's help, building an even better, big, huge, wonderful castle with all his blocks. And that's what the rabbit did differently, didn't he? Sometimes you just need hugs instead of words. Do you have a special friend who does that for you? Do you have a special stuffed animal that you feel you could talk to? But it's another way that friends of some sort or the other can help you feel better when you're having trouble. So we just have a few minutes left, and so we're going to fill in the time with some nursery rhymes again. We haven't read any nursery rhymes for a couple months now. So let's start with Peter, Peter, Pumpkin Eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. Put her in a pumpkin shell, and there he kept her very well. And then here's one. Little Jack Horner sat in the corner eating his Christmas pie. He put in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I." Now, this one is another strange nursery rhyme. There was a crooked man who walked a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence against a crooked stile. He bought a crooked cat who caught a crooked mouse, and they all lived together in a little crooked house. Now, I do not know what a crooked sixpence would look like. Sixpence is a piece of money that they used to use in England. Anyways, what a crooked piece of sixpence looks like, I do not know. I can't imagine. And the cat has a really crooked tail, and the little mouse that he caught is sitting on the cat's head now, and it has a crooked tail too. And one more. Simple Simon met a pie man going to the fair. Said Simple Simon to the pie man, "Let me taste your wares." Says the pieman to Simple Simon, "Show me first your penny." Says Simple Simon to the pieman, "Indeed, I have not any." Uh-oh, he lost his money, I guess. A diller, a dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar. What makes you come so soon? You used to come at 10 o'clock, but now you come at noon. And that's a silly poem, and we will end there. So, here we go. We've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.